all tears. You may remember that Pelops was not the only child of Tantalus and Dione. They also had a daughter, Niobe. Despite the terrible fate that befell her father and the bleak adventures of her brother, she was a proud, confident woman. She had met and married Amphion, the son of Zeus and Antiope. He was a former lover of Hermes, you may recall, one of the twins who had constructed the walls of Thebes, enchanting the stones with his singing and strumming of the lyre. Once he had married Niobe and taken her to Thebes, the city he helped found, Amphion added three strings to that lyre, so that, in honour of her birthplace in Asia Minor, he could play music in what is still called the Lydian mode. Between them, Niobe and Amphion had seven daughters and seven sons, the Niobids. Swollen with dangerous levels of conceit and self-regard, Niobe liked to tell all who would listen how important she was and just how royal and divine her bloodlines were. On my mother's side, I claim descent from Tethys and Oceanus, their first-generation titans, you know. On my father's side, well, there's Tmolus, of course, the most high-born of all the Lydian mountain deities. My dear husband Amphion is a son of Zeus and of Antiope, the daughter of King Nyctius, one of the original Theban Spartoi who sprang from the dragon's teeth. So my darling sons and daughters really can boast the most distinguished lineage, one feels justified in saying, of any family in the world. Not that I ever allow them to boast, of course. The well-bred are never puffed up. Such foolishness might have been no more than faintly sad, were it not that Niobe even presumed to compare herself to the Titaness Leto, mother of gods. On the very day that the people of Thebes gathered annually to sing Leto's praises and tell the story of Artemis and Apollo's miraculous birth on Delos, on that very day, sacred to the Titaness and her dignity, Niobe unburdened herself of her haughtiest broadside. I mean, I'd be the first to admit that Leto's dear twins, Artemis and Apollo, are charming and fully divine. Of course they are. But only two children? One girl and one boy? Good heavens, how she can even call herself a mother, I fail to understand. And who's to say that of my seven sons and seven daughters, there won't be some, if not all, who will ascend to divine and immortal rank? Given their birth, I think it is rather more likely than not, don't you? In my view, celebrations of such a lazy, vulgar, and unproductive mother as Leto are in extremely poor taste. Next year, I shall make sure the festival is cancelled altogether. At this time, as in the subsequent Age of Heroes, there was always the possibility of humans attaining immortal rank. It was to happen to Hercules. In later civilizations, Roman emperors could be deified, Roman Catholics sanctified, and film actors catastrophized in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. When word reached Leto that this jumped-up Theban was insulting her in such a fashion and daring to set herself up over her, she burst into tears in front of her sympathetic twins. "That terrible, boastful, conceited woman," she choked. "She called me lazy for having only two children. She said I was unproductive. And she called me vulgar. She said she would prevent the people of Thebes from celebrating my festal day."
Artemis put an arm round her, while Apollo paced up and down, slamming the ball of his fist into his palm.
"She has 14 children," wailed Leto. "So I suppose, compared to her, I am inadequate."
"Enough," said Artemis. "Come, brother, she has made our mother weep. It is time this woman knew the meaning of tears. Artemis and Apollo went straight to Thebes, where they hunted down every one of Amphion and Niobe's 14 children. Artemis shot the 7 daughters dead with her silver arrows. Apollo shot the 7 sons dead with his golden ones. When Niobe was brought news of the slaughter, she fled to her childhood home and found refuge on the slopes of Mount Sipylus. Her grief was insupportable. Amphion's response to the massacre of his children was to take his own life by falling on his sword. No matter how snobbish, reckless, proud, and absurd she had been, such wretched and inconsolable unhappiness was terrible to behold. The gods themselves could not bear to hear her unceasing lamentations and turned her to stone. But not even solid rock had the power to hold back such tears as these. Niobe's weeping pushed her tears through the stone and sent them cascading in waterfalls down the mountainside. Even today, visitors to Sipylus, now called Mount Spill, can see the rock formation in which the outlines of a female face can still be discerned. In Turkish, this is known as Aglayan Kaya, or Weeping Rock. It looks down on the city of Manisa, the modern name for Tantalus. The waters that gush from this rock will flow forever in their grief. The rock is limestone, but the element niobium, very similar in composition and characteristics to tantalum, is named after the Queen of Tears.